观众朋友们，大家好！欢迎大家进入杭州汇理学校的直播间。今天呢，我们邀请到了三位来自杭州汇理学校小学部的老师，和我们一起聊一聊，在我们杭州汇理学校，我们是如何让孩子们学习英文的。To start, can you briefly introduce yourself and the role in the primary school?
Yeah, my name is Matthew Hughes. The kids call me Mr. Matthew, and I teach in grade one here at Heber. And this is my first year in Heber, but I've previously taught internationally in a different country and in the UK as well.
Yeah, and hello everyone. My name is Christina Stanova. The children know me as Miss Christina. I currently teach grade one children. I'm also the acting lower primary English lead, and I've been doing international teaching for 13 years now.
Sam 老师，你也做一下自我介绍。
好啊，大家好，我的名字叫 Sam 张，然后我是学校的英语支持老师。
谢谢。那我是 James，是学校负责市场和招生的老师。那我们的第一个问题给老师的呢，是在小学的双语教学中，家长对孩子英语学习最大的焦虑来自于哪里？So the first question is in primary bilingual curriculum。Where does parents' biggest anxiety about their children's English learning usually come from?
I'm going to take this one. Usually, from the feedback that we get, the parents are usually really worried about the level of English used in primary and especially in grade one. And because the children are coming from nursery, they're also afraid of basically how about the pitch of the lessons, that it may be too high. And they usually speak to us about, oh, is everything, they usually ask us, is everything in English and how are the lessons delivered? But they really don't have to worry about this because we have lots of teachers, support teachers around who provide bilingual instruction wherever we need. So they really don't have to worry about that.
And I think for the parents, sometimes they just underestimate their children's adaptability, right?
Yeah,
For most of the
absolutely.
kids at that age, they can really fit into the new environment really, really quickly.
Absolutely, absolutely. Agree 100%.
Sam 老师能帮我们翻译一下吗？
好，没问题。那 Miss Christina 提到说，对家长来说，通常最容易提到的一个问题就是，孩子一下子进入这样子一个全英文的教学环境，那无法适应怎么办？他们很担心孩子无法跟上这个上课的节奏，毕竟我们的课程是用英语来授课的。那 Miss Christina 也有提到说，家长们完全不需要担心，是因为我们在教室里是有一个支持老师的，他可以和我们的外教一起共同教学，确保孩子们能够听懂老师的这样的一些指令。Mr. James，你有提到说，对于家长来说，其实他们通常低估了自己孩子的这样子的一个学习能力，孩子的学习和适应能力在他们这个阶段是非常强的，是很快能够适应的。
好的，那我们接下来的问题呢，是很多家长经常会听到"自然拼读"这个词，但是呢，他们可能并没有完全理解。那能否请二位老师用简单易懂的方式为我们介绍一下什么是自然拼读，为什么它这么重要？The second next question is: Many parents heard the word phonics a lot, but may not fully understand it. In simple terms, what is phonics and why does it matter?
Yeah, I think like literally the word phonics just means sound, and it's teaching the children what sound the letters make when they're reading English. And it goes through like lots and lots of levels. So at the basic level, you're going through each letter, what sound does it make? Then the children will start to pair letters together, what sound does that make? Then they'll start reading whole words, then whole sentences, and it builds up and up and up. But the whole premise of phonics is about teaching children how to say out loud what they can see on the page.
Right. So for our children without any kind of English foundation, how long do you assume they can pick up the phonics, in the right track?
They pick it up really quickly. The great thing about phonics is, as I mentioned before, there's so many levels. We have, red group, blue group, green group, all these different groups. So we will very quickly put them in the group that matches their ability. And I know, speaking for myself, I taught the very lowest of the ability groups at the start of the year, the children didn't know the sound A. You know, they came in with no knowledge, and they very, very quickly, I'm just thinking, all the children that were in my first group, they can now sound out every letter in the alphabet, and they can start pairing, you know, so T makes F, and they're starting to do that. So
that's only 4 months, right?
Yeah, it's really quick. It's one of those subjects. I love teaching phonics. I see progress so quickly.
And that's why the children pick up on it so fast, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's routines and they're used to it, and it gives them confidence and they look forward to it because they know what to expect. So it's a very good program, actually. Yeah, we use Read, Write, Ink in primary. So
the environment really play a very important role.
And it's a new sound every day. It's just go, go, go. It's great. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Sam 老师能帮我们翻译一下吗？
没问题。Mr. Maslow 一开始提到说 phonics 这个词在翻译成这个英文，在英文中最直接的解释其实就是发音的意思。他教授的不是每个字母是什么，而是教授这个字母应该发什么音，当这些字母有不同的组合的时候，他们应该发什么音。这对孩子的阅读能力非常的重要。当孩子们掌握了学习的这条系统之后，他们就会知道从一个单独的这个字母，然后到单词，甚至到句子，能够清晰自信的把这个东西给阅读朗读出来。然后 Mr. James 提到这个问题说，那在我们汇率学校，孩子大概经过多久这样子一个培训就能够很好的掌握这个自然拼读呢？Mr. Maslow 就以他亲身的这个教学经历来说，他目前在我们，因为我们在汇率学校，我们是非常系统在学习这个自然拼读的。我们会根据孩子这个自然拼读的能力，把他们分成不同的组别。Mr. Matthew 最近是负责是教授这个最低组别的这个孩子，就是在四个月的时间里，孩子们从完全不知道怎么样去发音，到能够系统的掌握这26个字母，甚至一些就是字母组合在一起的发音，只用了大概四个月的时间。老师也提到说，教授自然拼读是非常有成就感的一件事情，因为你每天都可以教授孩子新的这样子的一些拼读的规则，然后你能够清晰的看到我们的孩子在取得一个很好的进步。
谢谢 Sam 老师。那下一个问题呢，我们想了解一下，对于刚进入小学的孩子来说，自然拼读的学习通常他会经历哪些阶段？ Next question is for children who are just starting primary school. What stages does phonics learning usually go through?
So the phonics program we use is quite structured, and it has many different stages, but they are all taught on every level. So every child would learn letter sounds. Then they would learn how to blend these sounds to make words, to read words. Then it goes into kind of fluent reading. Then they would have a story to work with. In every lesson, so they read that, and obviously these words and letters and sounds are in that story, so they can actually apply what the sounds that they just learned. And then it goes into kind of reading comprehension, conversation around the story, writing some grammar. So these are all the stages that the children go through in every level. However, there are lower levels, so ditties or red groups, there's more of a focus on the sounds. And then as you go higher, there's a group called Language and Literacy. So once they've completed the phonics program, it goes into kind of a writing program, which is appropriate to their age group. And that's
so it's a sound first and then writing.
Yes.
Sounds, reading, writing.
Sounds, reading, and writing.
Yeah, that's right.
I do see some examples that the primary teachers share with us, that some of the pupils, when they enter the grade one, they can barely write some English. But before they enter the grade two, they can write like a whole big article. It's really amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I cannot believe it's the same pupil out just 1 year.
Sometimes same as we can't believe it's the same pupil.
When phonics is taught in that really structured way, and we do like quite regular assessments to make sure they're always in the right group and getting pushed, it's so quick. Like they really fly. It's incredible.
And also the speaking.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just when they come in, we do the interview, right? We know you don't speak anything.
Yeah, just
how are you? Hello, my name is blah, blah, blah. But after grade one, it's just like they totally changed.
Yes. And especially, I know a few of my parents have commented that they want their kid to speak English properly. They want them to have the correct accent. And because the phonics is teaching them the sound, you know, how to say the letter, they're hearing it from like native English people who are teaching the phonics how to say it properly. So some parents comment that their kids, like their accent has changed. They're saying, like, oh, they sound just like you now, Mr. Matthew. Like it's they pick it up really quickly.
Right. Thank you. Sam 老师能帮我们翻译一下吗？
没问题。Miss Christina 首先提到，又再一次强调说，在惠利学校，我们的这个自然拼读的教授是非常系统的。我们一开始一定是从最基本的这个单个字母开始，夯实基础。在我们的基础得到夯实之后呢，我们会进行复杂的字母的组合发音的教学。当他们掌握了这些发音的规则之后，我们会教授他们如何把这些单词给拼读拼起来。然后紧接着我们就会提高他们在阅读时的流利度啊，这样。当他们很会读了之后，我们一定要确保他们是对文章有一定理解的，所以我们会让孩子进行理解与运用。当阅读的这一关过掉了之后，我们会很快的步入到这个写作这个部分，所以它是一步一步来非常系统化的这样的一个培训。然后Mr. James 就有提到说，所以他有些时候，因为他一开始孩子在面试的时候，他可能有接触到孩子，发现孩子能力和在我们学校一年之后这个能力是天翻地覆的这样子的一个变化。孩子从只能说几个简单的单词，到后面能够完整的来对自己进行自我介绍，对英语进行表达，以及他们的写作，他们从基本上没有接触过英语到后面二年级开始的时候能写出整篇大段的文章，这也是让我们老师感到惊喜的这样子的一个部分。然后 Mr. Matthew 补充到说，这是因为在我们学校我们有非常系统的这个自然拼读的教授，当自然拼读是这样子系统的教授，并且定期对孩子进行测验，看他们掌握如何的时候，其实孩子们这些取得这些进步是非常理所应当的，就是非常应该就是出现的这样的一个状况。然后还有这边有提到说Mr. Matthew 有提到说，因为我们学校的自然拼读的教授是由我们的外教来也会参与的，所以对孩子的这个发音也是一个非常好的机会。孩子们会他们的这个发音是非常地道的，非常以像这个母语习得者，家长这一点也给到老师很多正面的反馈。
谢谢 Sam 老师。那接下来的问题呢，是很多家长担心孩子在幼儿园阶段的基础没有那么好，虽然接触过自然拼读，但是还是害怕到国际学校以后听不懂全英文的课程。那我们是如何解决这个问题的呢？Next question is about many parents. They are worried about their children's English foundation is not strong enough during the early year stage. Although they have been exposed to phonics, they're still afraid that they won't understand the all English courses after entering an international school. And how would we address this issue?
I think...Again, like Miss Christina said in an earlier question about how we always have like a teaching assistant, a TA or somebody in the room that can speak Chinese. So we're translating between ourselves and the children. And the way that we teach as well, we often have a lot of cards with pictures on and things to help the children to understand, because not all communication is verbal. They can pick up on cues. And I think it's...like have belief in the children that they're at that age that they pick up language so quickly, you know. This is that age where they're listening so carefully,
and
it's just natural to them, you know. If this is their first school, they will only ever have been in an international school, you know, so for them it's not a strange thing. It's just what they've always done, and they take to itreally naturally.
And I think the instruction in grade one is not that complicated.
It's
rather simple, and sometimes teachers will use a lot of gestures to kind of further explain what my instruction is.
Definitely.
And it will help the children to understand. And also, Ms. Matthew mentioned the certain age. There is a theory about, you know, pupil from, I think it's from 0 to 6, is actually...one of their brain zones is very active in learning languages. At that age, they were learning a foreign language as their native language. It's the first language learning. But after that age, they will start to learn another language as a second language. So I think this is very important for children.
And grade one, the children are mostly six.
And they're so keen at that age as well, aren't they? They just want to learn everything. If you throw a language in there, they will just eat it up.
Completely agree. 100%.
Thank you. 请 Sam 老师帮我们翻译一下。
好，没问题。这个问题的话 ，Miss Christina 有说到说，那就像我们刚刚提到说，在我们的教室里，我们是有一个这样子支持老师的，他会在关键的时刻给孩子们提供一些中文上的支持，确保孩子们能更好的理解这个上课的内容。除此之外的话，老师也会悉心准备很多图片、卡片，给孩子们提供一些视觉上的支持，多方位的来帮助孩子更好的理解这样子上课的一个内容。Mr. James 这个地方有补充到说，其实有一个理论是在0到6岁左右的孩子，他们掌管语言学习的这一块。大脑是非常活跃的，在这个时候他们大脑可能像一块海绵，很快就能吸收到老师教授给他们的知识。对他们来说，学英语在0到6岁这个阶段学英语更多的像是一种母语的这种思维在学习，而不是第二语言的这样子的习得。Mr. Matthew 有补充到一个是他现在教授就是一年级刚好是处于6岁左右这样的一个孩子，他说每一个孩子对学习真的充满了热情，你告诉他们什么，你教授他们什么，他们都是抱着非常好的态度来吸收和接纳的，所以孩子学习的非常快。
谢谢三位老师。那下一个问题呢，其实对于幼儿园阶段有一定自然拼读基础的孩子，那我们的老师会有什么样的方法让他们更快的提升英文？ The next question is about for children who have certain foundation in phonics during their earlier stage. What suggestions do we have to help them improve their English more quickly?
We usually get this question from the parents, and we and the parents probably think by now we're very boring because we're so repetitive and we always say read and read and read, and we always push the reading. And it's very important that this is taken seriously, because literally all the English skills evolve from reading. So definitely keep on reading at home. It is very useful for children to watch cartoons in English.They can especially see conversations between characters. Some children in grade one usually watch Peppa Pig. That's very popular right now. And they repeat things and they say things. I have a child in the class who could not speak any English at the start. And he will come to the class and he will randomly say something from Peppa Pig. It's so funny.
Yeah. My children is 3 years old now.
Yeah.
He loved to watchPeppa Pig.
Yeah.
And he learned a lot of words on that.
And a lot of phrases. And it's like daily conversations, very useful for the children. At the same time, children are having fun. It's not learning time for them. They are enjoying themselves and they're learning at the same time. So I think it's perfect. So reading, watching cartoons, just exposure to English outside of school, any exposure to English is very helpful.
Right. Yeah. But for reading, I get like a further question.So what kind of books do you recommend for this pupil at this age? Because some of the kind of English books is maybe too hard for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think you might have like professional suggestions for them.
Yeah. So we use a scheme in the school called the Oxford Reading Tree, which has like color based, you know, a kid might be on red level or green level.
Mm-hmm.
And we link...those levels to the phonics,
right.
As I mentioned before. So the phonics levels are color-based. So if they're in green group for phonics, then they should be reading a green level English book.
Right.
And so that allows us to make sure that the kind of words that they're going to see in the book are words that they can actually decode themselves.
Yeah. Right.
They don't need... They might, you know, as a parent, you want to support your kid...but they don't need the support. They can do it themselves.
Right.
And it's at their level.
Right. It's this kind of book, which is kind of age appropriate, right?
Yeah.
Are those books available in our library? Or...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right. We've got bookshelves full, haven't we? Loads.
Yeah, we have like a lower primary library for grade one and grade two children.
Right.
And then grade 3, 4, and 5 go to to the main library.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a librarian called Miss May, and she's a wonderful librarian and the kids love her. So she's always able to direct the children, like choose from these shelves. These are appropriate to your level. But also when we go to the library with the children, usually, you know, they're very eager and they check in their books out. And I always tell them, if you can't read it, you're not checking your book out. So
yeah.
They open it and then it's a beautiful book, uh-huh. beautiful pictures. And they've probably been looking at the pictures in the book. And then I'm like, okay, I don't think this is the book for you. Yeah. So can you choose one that you can read? And it's like, and I know they're excited. And I'm so glad that they like in the books, but this needs to be educational as well. So if they really can't read it and it's too hard, then, you know, like there's no point in, you know, taking it home. Yeah. So,
and I think with the books as well, there's two things going on at once. So we, as the English homeroom teacher, will give the children what we call a leveled reader, which is the book from that color based scheme that I mentioned before.
Mm.
And then the children can independently pick, I think they can have three books at once out from the library, which they can take every week.
Right.
So with both of those going on, we hope that we're giving them a book that's on their level and they can read that every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, they can have a book that they enjoy.
Yeah,
that
whatever they're interested themselves. In. Yeah.
Two books for a week, I think that's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But the more reading, the better.
All the time, definitely.
Yeah.
Always.
Okay. Thank you, Sam 老师能帮我们翻译一下。
没问题。主要 Miss Christina 还是提到说，对这个英语学习来说，最重要的还是阅读。这是一个老生常谈的感受，但确实对于英语的各项技能来说，阅读一定是帮忙能够提升最快的。那除此之外，他还提到不要小看这个卡通片的力量。比如说像一些小猪佩奇这样子的卡通片，它是包含了很多日常的对话，不管是对孩子们的这个交流、口语交流，还有这个词汇量的扩充都是非常好的。然后 Mr. James 有提到自己的一个经历，就是说自己的孩子通过看这个动画片也学习到了非常多的单词，其实是一个进步很大的这样的一个过程。那除此之外的话，我们更多的提到是关于这个在读的时候那书本上的选择。在我们惠利学校，对一二年级的孩子来说是有自己单独的一个这个图书馆的。那 Miss May 也就是我们学校深受孩子喜欢这个图书管理员，会引导孩子去借适合他年纪的书，所以每个孩子在每一周都能够自由选择自己非常感兴趣的书带回家进行一个阅读。那除此之外，Mr. Matthew 有提到说，我们学校是有采用这个牛津树这一套体系的这个书籍。这个书籍跟刚刚的这个自然拼读是有关的，因为我们又说到自然拼读分不同的等级，分不同的颜色。这个牛津树这套书也是分不同的颜色的，所以老师会根据孩子自然拼读这样子的一个能力，匹配孩子能够理解的这样的一些书，会让孩子带着成就感去读这些书，让孩子把这些书带回家去进行一些阅读，然后老师也会在时间内对他们进行抽测，看他们究竟掌握的怎么样。所以在会的阅读我们是非常重视的，并且每一周我们会有两本书，一本是老师给到孩子的，帮助孩子更系统的去掌握这个英语学习能力的，另一本是孩子感兴趣的真正自主的想要阅读的书籍。
谢谢 Sam 老师。那下一个问题呢，是从专业老师的角度来看，家长在小学阶段应该通过哪些信号来判断孩子的英语学习是不是在一个正常的轨道上。 The next question is from a teacher's perspective. What signs should parents look for to know whether their child's English learning is on the right track?
Yeah, I think for me, that the two key words are confident and independent. Like if they are confidently reading and it's clear and they know what they're saying because it's at the right level, then that's one good sign. And again, independently, are they doing it themselves? And do they want to read themselves? You know, and are they talking in English unprompted? You know, do they just naturally speak in English during like a conversation rather than you have to kind of poke them a few times, you know, sort of say, come on, say it. They're doing it confidently. They want to do it. It's independent. That to me, they're the sort of two golden rules, I would say.
Yeah. I think also maybe talk with the teachers, because I think teachers, they know the students pretty well.
Yeah, totally. The parents are always welcome to check in with us, and we are in touch with them quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So they're always informed about their child's progress. Basically, if the teacher is not in touch, everything's going well.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. But usually we would get in touch with parents. Like, obviously, if we're worried about something, we will let them know so that we can make sure that the child is back on track.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what Mr. Matthew mentioned, and also if they can start writing, even if the spelling mm-hmm. is not right, but if they can start confidently writing on their own, mm-hmm. now that's also a sign that they are developing and they are trying, making an effort, and they have some ideas using their phonics to write, yeah. even if it's wrong. So that's also a good sign that mm-hmm. they can write independently mm-hmm. and not waiting for the teacher to help out.
Mm-hmm. I think the school report will be a good indicator.
Yeah.
I think we will include that in our school report. Definitely. How many times we were going to feedback those school report to our parents?
We're actually writing the first set of reports right now, aren't we?
It's twice a year.
Twice a year.
Each
term.
Yeah, one will come out just before the New Year mm-hmm. holiday, and then one will come out at the end of the year. So halfway through.
Right.
And then the end of the year.
So if the report shows that the children is on the right track, it basically means they're okay.
Yeah. 请 Sam 老师帮我们翻译一下。好的，没问题。Mr.
Matthew有提到说，针对这个问题有两个关键词，一个是confident，一个是independent。一个对第一个词的话，意思来说是自信，就是孩子敢不敢与自信的开口去表达自己的感受，或者用英文来表达自己的想法。另外一个是独立的能力，他能够独立的写一篇文章吗？他能够独立拿起一本书开始阅读吗？能够独立的来去跟老师互动，回答一些问题吗？这是两个可以判断的比较关键的一个指标。Mr.
James 有提到说，那跟老师的交流也是一个很重要的这样的指标。Miss Christina 就有补充到说，在会里我们非常重视家校沟通，我们的外教老师会和家长保持密切紧密的沟通。当他们发现孩子取得了进步的时候，会及时的跟家长告知家长。当他们觉得哦，可能孩子在以下某些方面需要一些进步，可能需要推一把的时候，他们也会立刻跟家长进行沟通，确保孩子是在正确的轨道上在进行学习的。然后 Mr. James 有提到，你有提到说，我们学校每年是有两次非常非常详细的报告，从各个维度来分析孩子在各个学科学习上取得的一些进步，还有进一步可以提高的地方是什么。所以通中这些一起我们可以判断。
谢谢 Sam 老师。那下一个问题呢，我们想了解一下小学阶段的英语学习和幼儿园以及将来的中学的英语有什么本质的不同。The next question is what is the fundamental difference between the English learning in primary school compared with nursery and also in senior school?
Mm-hmm. So basically, I would say in nursery, children learn through play. Mm. It's less structured. The children they have more freedom to kind of explore around, less routines. There's no testing.Whereas in primary, it becomes a little more serious. They're still having a lot of fun, and we're trying to make the lessons as fun and engaging as possible. But it's more about now routines, making effort, trying to be more independent. Also, they start having some tests, so they learn how to sit an exam.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the main difference between nursery and primary school.
Mm-hmm.
Senior school...I don't know. I've never taught senior school, so I can't really say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Matthew, if you have any insights
them. I know that in the senior school, obviously, they don't have that translation during the lessons.
Okay, so yeah, that might be.
I imagine it as being, we're sort of gradually giving the children more sort of ownership of their own learning as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in nursery, it's mostly playing.
Yeah.
And occasionally the teacher will call the children over to a table
mm-hmm.
to do a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And then in primary, it's them learning like, this is your seat.
Mm-hmm.
You stay sat down. We do lessons.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a break time, but most of the time is class. And then again, into secondary, it's sort of more hands off again. Mm-hmm. The children will do more research at home. There's less...support from TAs and things like that.
And there's lots of exams going on in senior school, so a lot of focus on exams, really.
I think this kind of progress is more age appropriate.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the nursery, they mainly explore things and we design certain program for them to explore, play, and learn. But when they get into the primary, we start more structured learning, it's more result-driven because they are going to have exams.
And
this is prepared for the senior school.
Because
in the senior school, they are going to have more exams. And I think in probably in the higher level of the primary, they are starting to get this exam schedule, and also it's more academic.
Their kind
of learning is more, for example, the word, the vocabulary learning is more academic driven.
Absolutely. And they're preparing them for a smooth transition to middle school. So
Thank you. 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 Thank you 引入一些学术性的内容，然后比如说他们学习的词汇也好，都更加的更多偏学术一点点，这是为了他们进行之后的一些考试，然后进入这个中学以后的一个学习打下夯实的基础，确保他们有一个这样平稳的过渡。
嗯，谢谢。那下一个问题呢，是很多家长可能会发现孩子能听懂英语的指令，但却不太愿意开口表达。那这个在小学阶段算是正常的现象吗？老师们通常是如何引导这些孩子的？ The next question is, many parents notice that their children understand English, but they don't want to speak. Is this normal at primary school? And how do our teachers support this?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And when you say about them understanding it, but maybe not wanting to say it, like, you have to remember from the kids' point of view, their entire life outside of school is in Chinese. A lot of the lessons that they have in school, maths, Chinese lessons, will be in Chinese. And so their life is in Chinese, and they sometimes speak English in English lessons. You know, So for them, when they have a thought, they want to express it in Chinese.And we want to give them the confidence to be able to speak English as well if they want to, you know. So Parents maybe ask questions from time to time to check that the children really understand what they're saying and just give them the chance to speak in English. You know, If you have a little trip to the Westlake or Shanghai, on the way back, ask them in English. Obviously, if parents can, like, say, You know,Did you enjoy your trip? What was your favorite part? Just start to show the kids that they don't just have to speak English when Mr. Matthew's there. You know, they can speak English all the time if they want to.
Just try to build a kind of a routine.
Make it natural. Exactly. It's just part of everyday life. It's not just in an English classroom.
Right. So for some of the parents, maybe they cannot speak English.
Yeah.
So probably an external helper.
Yeah, there's tutors. Yeah. Tutors can help the kids with their homework. They can do language, tuition and things like that.
So and the key is to build this kind of routine.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all the time. It's as much it's a bilingual school, isn't it, at the end of the day? So it's they speak Chinese and English. It's neither is more important. It's both part of their life.
Yeah. Thank you.Sam 老师，我们总结一下
啊，没问题啊。刚刚 Mr. Matthew 提到说，这个问题其实很正常。我们是一所双语学校，然后孩子在家里的话，大多时候也是使用中文的，并且学校的一些数学课也是用中文来教授的。但其实很重要一点是，让孩子们在自信的能够讲出英语来。那怎么具体可以怎么做呢？比如说他提到一个例子，我们可以让孩把这个英语变成他生活中的一个部分，变成他日常这样子，像一个这种规律会做到的事情。比如说一家人去上海玩，去西湖玩，回来之后。 爸爸妈妈可以简短的用英文问他说，那在这个旅行中你最享受是哪个部分，有什么部分让你印象深刻，让孩子们意识到，哦，我不仅仅是因为跟着老师在一起的时候可以说英文，我在生活中的时候也可以很好的运用到这个英文知识。 Mr. James 这边有补充到说，可能我们有的家长不太自信说自己能跟孩子进行英文交流，在我们学校也会有一些家教老师，这些家教老师每天会和孩子相处大概1到2个小时的时间，帮助孩子们一起辅导作业，和他们进行一些英语上的交流，这些孩子在一段时间内也会取得非常大的进步。总的来说，就是让说英语成为一种习惯，进入你的日常生活。
谢谢 Sam 老师。那下一个问题是，为什么在小学阶段自然拼读被认为是英语学习中非常关键的基础？ The next question is why phonics considered such a crucial foundation for learning English in the primary years?
So here at HEBA, we work with the National Curriculum of England, and all the units that we teach in English basically revolve around a text that we read. So basically it all starts with a story, and if the children can't read the story, then they can't really go into writing. So it's very reading heavy and writing heavy. So if they can't read the, so phonics is all about sounds and reading and blending and reading words. So if they can't then read the story, then the writing can't happen. And also they speak in won't improve. So it's all about reading. It all comes down to reading, andthe basis of that is phonics.
Right.
So phonics is the foundation of reading.
Got it. Sam 老师，你帮我们翻译一下。
没问题。是这样的 ，Miss Christina 有提到说，在惠利学校，我们英语课采用的是英国国家这个教育课程大纲。那对这个本国人，他们本国人学习英语的方式是，我们通常会从一个故事开始，并且逐渐过渡到写作。自然拼读就是阅读的基石，所以只有掌握了非常夯实的自然拼读的技巧，在读这些故事的时候，才能进行更好的理解，才能更好的产出一些写作。
谢谢。下一个问题是，两位老师能否分享一些课堂中的教学活动或者是案例，帮助孩子们更好地掌握自然拼读？ The next question is, can you share some examples of activities or classroom practices that help children master phonics?
Yeah, so obviously, at the very basic level, we do daily phonics lessons. So it's really part of their routine. And we make sure that we teach the phonics lesson early,in the day, because that's generally when the children are most engaged. So we really center the timetable around that. And then, as Miss Christina said, in the English lessons outside of phonics, everything that we teach is based on a text. So we start a new unit, we read a book that it's based on. And then generally, we as the unit goes on, we movegradually away from the text that we're reading towards eventually the children writing their own story based on that text. So it's sort of becoming more independent. And obviously, again, those skills of phonics, those speaking skills, reading skills, writing skills, they're all fundamental to that. So it's woven into everything.
Right.
But some useful, what was it, activities, examples, that would be some phonics games. A lot of the teachers that teach phonics, they would have a game. We would use something called word wall, where we design games.
Word wall?
Word wall. And it's an interactive game, and then children can...you know, say this, a sound appears and then they get points. So, and children are also really motivated with house points. So we would play different games. There is also Blookit and just different online resources that can make and then children really love games. So we do try to, especially when it comes to sound, like the sound games, you know, that's what we do. That's what really helps children learn and gets them excited about phonics.
Yeah, I think interest is the most important thing, right?
Yeah, totally.
Get them interested and then from their interest, study what they need to study.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. It's very motivating for them, definitely.
Yeah. Thank you. Sam 老师能帮我们 总结一下吗？
啊，没问题。Mr. Matthew 这边说到说，我们刚刚提到这个自然拼读课，我们是在惠利学校，我们有意的把自然拼读课放在早上的这个第一节课的时间，这个是当孩子最精力旺盛、最能够享受这个课堂的时候，我们会来教授这样子重要的这样子的一个这最重要的这样子的一个知识。那对于教授这个自然拼读，我们会有非常多的游戏的形式。然后 Miss Christina 有补充到说，我们有一个这个软件叫做单词墙，它是一个互动性非常强的记单词、记这个读音的这样子的一个软件，孩子们非常喜欢，会在上面反复的进行这个练习，加深自己的记忆啊。除此之外的话，因为我们学校会把学生分成不同的学院，我们会给孩子颁发这个学院积分，所以当孩子能够回答正确问题，在参与这个自然拼读的游戏中回答正确的时候，我们会奖励他们这个学院分，进一步提高孩子学习的这个动力。
嗯，谢谢 Sam 老师。下一个问题呢是我们通常会如何去评估学生的自然拼读和整体英语的能力？那我们评估他们的目的是什么？ The next question is, how do we assess pupils' phonics and their English abilities? And what is the purpose of those assessments?
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to phonics, we do assessments every 6 weeks. We use a scheme called Read-Write Inc. and they provide assessments. So it's a systematic assessment of children. So that is a phonics assessment. And there are also other assessments that assess other English skills, such as writing. We would have a writing unit. Children publish a written piece of work every three to 4 weeks. We usually use rubrics to see whether they can, what they achieve in the objectives of the National Curriculum of England. For that specific genre. We also assess spelling weekly. Mm-hmm. Am I leaving anything out? Writing, spelling, phonics every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
We have reading assessments every term. Mm-hmm. So we have multiple skills and we have a variety of tests that we use and schemes.
Yeah.
So that, and then we analyze that data and we look at where the gaps are and if maybe some children need intervention and so on, we really want to make sure everyone makes progress, even if it's small progress, but we do want children, all of them, to progress.
Right. Mm. I think the purpose of those assessments is to make sure everyone is on the right track.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
If they're missing the right track, then we got to find a way to put them back.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Mm.
And I think, just on top of what Miss Christina was saying, there's also the assessment in like everything that we're doing every day. Mm. You know, when we're asking children questions, we might notice that certain children aren't putting their hands up maybe, or they give the wrong answer. So then within the lesson, as teachers, we can just go and sit with that child for 5 minutes. So there's the kind of top level. We do this assessment every 6 weeks, every term, but also every lesson, every day, we're constantly watching the class, watching the children, who are the ones that aren't putting their hands up. Let's sit with them. We're adjusting all the time.
Yeah. So it's also based on your knowledge to the students.
Yeah, it's ongoing. It's all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think the small size of the class helps.
Yeah.
If we got absolutely
like 40 or 50 children, then that's
you
don't
chance.
Have the attention to do that.
Yeah.
We only have 24.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's always the TA in the room. So if there's something maybe that I don't spot, the TA will spot
exactly.
it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Children have a lot of attention and a lot of support at our school, and it's really wonderful.
And I think in the lower grade, we usually have 3 teachers.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a very high teacher and pupil ratio.
Super high.
20 children in my class and 3 teachers.
Wow.
So
we'll
spot everything.
We definitely got enough.
Nothing goes unnoticed in those classrooms. Nowhere to hide.
That's a word. That's what the parents want, but that's not what the pupil want.
Well, yeah.
exactly.
yeah. Sam 老师能帮我们翻译一下吗？
没问题。Miss Christina 说提到说，我们的测试主要是分成四个部分来说。对于 Phonics 来说，我们用的是 RWI 这套系统，非常系统的会测试孩子们这个自然拼读的学习状况。它每六周就会进行一次测试。除此之外，每三到四周我们对孩子会有一个写作的测试，这个写作也是有非常详细的这个评分标准的。那 Spelling 就是关于一个拼写的测试，也是定期会出现的。那第四个是我们每一学期会有非常正式的阅读能力的测试，我们测试完不是说就结束掉，我们是会认真分析这些数据，并且用这些数据来看哪一个孩子可能需要更多的帮助，他可能差距出现在了哪里，我们能够采取哪些措施帮他进一步的赶快赶上去。换句话说，就像您总结到的，我们确保需要每一个孩子都在正确的轨道上，不能落下任何一个孩子。除此之外的话， Mr. Matthew 还说到说，作为经验丰富的老师，您有提到他们其实在授课的过程中看着孩子是否有举手，是否有回答问题，是否显得疑惑，他们能够及时调整这个上课的一个进度和策略，确保每个孩子都能够跟得上。那最后您这边有说到说，在惠利学校我们这个小班制教学一定是有帮助的，相比起其他公办学校只有四五十个人，这个学生我们的一个学生大概是在二十个左右，像 Mr. Matthew 班他们就是二十个左右，这个时候教室里会有三位老师通常对二十个同学同时进行一些帮助。我们开玩笑说到了一个词叫让孩子们无处躲藏，就是不让他们的任何一个问题不得到解决。对，
谢谢 Sam 老师。那下一个家长关心的问题是在英语学习方面，家长最常见的误区有哪一些？ The next question is, what are some common misunderstandings parents have about English learning?
Common misunderstandings, I think
the common misunderstanding is that everything is taught in English and it's a super, yes, technical language that the children will never be able to access, but actually it'sSuper broken down and simplified, and lots of translation as well provided by the support teachers present in the classroom. So really, it is not that intense. And I always say to the parents, there is no way the children don't understand at least something in my lesson. Like there's absolutely no way, because there is the language bilingual approach, there's visuals,there's me with my body language, so they really don't have to worry about that. I think that's they usually think, oh wow, like how everything's in English and my child's going to struggle and we're not going to understand. But we really try, also communicating with the parents, like we try to give instructions for homework bilingually, so it's really not that scary and bad, yeah, as they think.
And some of the parents, they may think their kids need to keep progressing all the way.
All right, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, yeah. It's never a linear upwards progress, basically. They go up, then they
sometimes go down.
Yep. This usually happens around the holidays, you know, and then they get back up again and then they dip down a little bit. So,
it's about the trajectory, isn't it?
That
some...You have good days and bad days. Some tests go
just
up,
like
some
life,
tests.
Right?
Exactly. But when we're doing those assessments, we're checking the kind of overall, you know, so you round out the troughs and the peaks and you see which general direction and the kids
generally are they progressing?
With all the support that we're giving them, they're heading in the right direction long term.
So the word is looking at the bigger picture.
That's it, yeah. Zoom out from that you know, everyone gets, you see a spelling test with a low score and you think, oh no, but zoom out and think they couldn't have spelled any of those words at the start of the year. So they're going in the right way.
Yeah. And you mentioned about the holidays. So happens during the holidays?
A lot of things happen during the holidays. It's called the holiday slide. And it's basically when children... So we need to understand that here at HEBA and here in China, you know, children go home and they do not have much exposure to English unless they have a tutor, or they really do watch those cartoons and so on. And they usually travel away and they forget all about the learning, you know. So we call that the holiday slide, when they kind of forget everything. And we do anticipate that and we know it's going to happen. So we do try for a gentle start when they beg, maybe try to revisit some key concepts and so on. But yeah, holiday slide is, it's real. Mm-hmm. It does happen, and no one should worry about it too much because it's absolutely normal. It's unavoidable. Yeah, right. It is avoidable. If you really continue, if you sit your child, if you put your child in a summer camp, or if they have to sit with a teacher throughout the whole day, but no one does that because everyone wants to enjoy their time during the whole day, which is normal.
Yes.
So.
Right. Kids need time to be kids.
Yeah, kids need to play and enjoy life.
Right. Yeah, we need to give them a complete childhood.
Yeah.
You know, in Chinese public schools, we got this kind of holiday homeworks. Do we have this?
We do.
Yeah.
So to make sure they finish the holiday homeworks is one way to avoid this kind of holiday slides.
It helps. Yeah.
Yes, it does help. But I would say that if my students don't complete all of it, I'm okay with that. I'm not too harsh on them or anything, because I know that they tried their best, and they also were busy probably traveling somewhere. So I don't usually give them a hard time.
You're very kind. For a teacher in Chinese public school, you know what kind of punishment they will give to those pupils?
Well, what punishment?
To write the holiday homeworks for 3 times. Yeah,
that's a hard one.
Yeah, we give one piece of holiday homework for each day that they're on
holiday.
That's
reasonable.
I think that's because, again, they need to go out and enjoy things as well, but just have an hour, go through it. Just, I think the plan is we want to sort of keep it just on the slow burn.
Yeah.
You know, when they're in school is when they get that proper intensive tuition, and then we just try in the summer to keep it just go in a little bit.
Yeah. And just as Christina said, like a gentle start will help them to really fit in again.
We are aware that maybe they've not, you know, not maybe, but surely they've not been speaking English. So we're not expecting, they need to kind of warm up to us when they come back from holiday. So we give them a bit of time, and then they back on track, fully understanding English, and everything's back to normal.
OK, Sam老师 帮我们总结一下。
好，没问题。Miss Karina 说，第一个误区的可能是家长会觉得说，一下子接触到这么多英语，我的孩子是不是可能无所适从？其实这个问题我们刚刚有回答过，老师的回答是说，没有啊，不会，是因为我们给孩子这个英语学习是把它分成一小块一小块一小块，让孩子能够真正吸收得下去的。所以当他们接触到这样子的英语的一些学习的时候，家长们不用太恐慌或太恐惧。然后另外一个的话是说，这个英语学习的进步，很多家长会觉得可能英语学习进步就是这样一条持续上升的过程，但实际上我们刚刚有开玩笑的说到，其他的学习像我们的人生一样是有起有伏的。那比如说一个比较特别的例子，就叫做 holiday slide， 就是假期好像做了一个滑梯。当你遇到假期的时候，毕竟我们是双语学校，孩子更多的是他的母语是中文，他在假期中可能跟英语接触的相对比较少的时候，他英语会好像出现一个短暂的这样子的停滞不前，甚至有一点点小小的退步。老师说这其实是正常的啊。然后有提到说可能公办小学的孩子可能在整个假期都要繁忙的写完整个作业，但我们更多的是孩子需要写作业，我们也会给到孩子假期作业，确保他每天都有一点点这个做英语的这个时间，养成这样子一个良好的习惯。但我们也很希望孩子能够同时有时间享受他的童年，去享受他的假期。
谢谢 Sam 老师。下一个问题是有一些用力过猛的典型例子，有没有一些你们见过的情况是家长非常用心反而影响了孩子的英语学习的兴趣？ The next question is, are there examples where well-intentioned support actually reduced a child's motivation to learn English?
Yeah, I think so. I think generally when we're following a certain unit, there's like a very clear structure in mind. And so all of the homework that we send home will be based about something that they've learned that week in grammar, let's say, or something. And I totally understand a parent's temptation to maybe think, well, if I do 2 pages of the homework book, that's twice as good as doing 1 page of the homework book.
Mm-hmm.
But you might be teaching a page that's on a subject that we haven't covered yet, you know, and sometimes there's ways that we will teach things that are maybe slightly different to the way that people may think it's taught, because, you know, we follow like the latest research that says it's best to do it in this order or say it in this way. And so I think what I would recommend to parents is, of course, absolutely support your kids as much as you can, but follow the guideline of the homework that's sent home. Or if you have a tutor, you know, the tutor will be trained like we are, and they will be giving the kids that sort of structured thing. And please don't be tempted to just think that, you know, if I go through this whole homework book now, they'll just learn everything straight away. That there's a reason that we do things in the way, with the language, in the order that we do it. And that's, it's important to stick to that.
Right. Yeah, so absolutely. Trust the professionals.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Yeah. Thank you. Sam 老师能帮我们翻译一下吗？
啊，没问题。Mr. Matthew 有提到说，可能我们在学习时老师是有一定的进步的，比如说我们今天学什么，老师是有个比较详细的计划的。那针对家庭作业，老师也是经过深思熟虑，跟这个学习计划、教学计划息息相关的。有些时候可能孩子把他的作业带回家去，家长就会说，哎，今天的作业是做第五页，要不然我把第五页和第六页都做，那我的孩子是不是这样进步可以快一点？其实不是，是跟着老师的这个进度来，不要过于的这个拔苗助长啊，这样子会对孩子的学习效果更好。然后 Mr. James 有提出的，那就相信专业人士的这个判断。
嗯，谢谢。下一个问题呢，是家长经常会纠结口音、教材选择，或者是否需要额外补习。那从老师的角度，你们会如何看待这些问题呢？ Next question is, parents often worry about accent, materials, or extra tutoring. How do you view these concerns?
I think I know a few of the children in my class have a tutor outside of home and outside of school.
Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend that if you feel that's something that your child needs, that only ever really has positive impacts. I think sometimes with the reading, you have to make sure to keep the reading at the level of the child, and you have to make sure the children want to read, you know, that there's no prizes for, like, if my children read, say, Harry Potter when they're really young, then that shows they're really good. It might just be killing their love of reading, you know. So I would say stick to the plan, if you like. Keep it at their level.
Yeah, I think for most of the Chinese parents or East Asia parents, they're kind of competitive.
Yes,
because exactly. They're in this kind of environment, they cannot help themselves to compare with others.
Definitely.
And this makes them anxious. This is why they want more, like, tutoring or studying in advance. I think you've been living in China for a year or two, you will understand this kind of cultural background of
that. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think children who have tutors at home, they are generally more confidence when it comes to English. It does give them confidence, so I would highly recommend that children do have a tutor, and especially if the parents feel that they can really help their children with the homework. And this comes back to kind of having negative impact on children's learning, because if you don't feel qualified, if you don't feel confident enough to help your child, and it might as well be that you're going to explain something to them in the wrong way. So that may not really help them progress. So it's always very good to have a tutor to just help them be confident in English.
And I think you mentioned about being competitive. You should see me at house events. Like, I'm all for being competitive. I think it's healthy competitive or unhealthy. You know, I think... Are you comparing your child to other children, which is maybe not so healthy, or are you just wanting the best for your child, for where they are?
Right.
So absolute competitive is great, but just channel that energy in the most positive way, I think.
Yeah, I think it's very important, because as you just said, if children at a young, very young age can read the Harry Potter, it's good, but might kill them, their enthusiasm.
That's it. Enthusiasm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or still, their passion for learning English.
That's it. They're still only six. Aren't they? Yeah. Yeah. They're little. Yeah. They'll get there.
Well, some of the Chinese parents, they do proud of that.
Yeah, Sam老师能帮我们总结一下吗？好，没问题。Mr. Matthew这边提到说，关于这个的话，他还是觉得我们会推荐家里会有个家教。这个家教老师，Mr. Christina也有补充到说，其实这个他会发现班级里孩子有这样子一个家教老师在家里提供一些支持，他会显得更加自信。其实不是说就这个多大的帮助，更多的是这份自信心带给他英语学习上能力上的一个动力和这样子的一个成就感，会让他更好的能够在课堂里去完成一些任务。然后 Miss Matthew提到说，关于比较这个话题，他说其实有比较，这个就是有进保持一种这样东亚的父母通常会更多的有一些竞争的这样子的心态。其实这是很好的，也是很正常的。但关键你这个竞争的心态是用在什么样的一个地方，是你把你的孩子和别的不断把你的孩子和别的孩子去比较，还是说你帮助你的孩子在他的范围内去做到最好？其实你帮助你的孩子不断的进步，在他的范围内去做到更好，这是一种非常良性的这样的一种竞争。他们提到了，就像您也提到，然后 Mr. Matthew 提到一个小例子，比如说，让孩子在阅读的时候，我们都说阅读是很好的，但是阅读的时候，您是否选择了真正让孩子感兴趣的书籍？我们 Harry Potter 是非常好的书籍，但对于像 Harry Potter 是一个很好的书籍，但是对于六岁的孩子来说，它是偏难的。我们会觉得六岁读 Harry Potter 这个哈利波特他很厉害，但是否太早的逼他去读这样的一些书，会就是。
伤害了他对于阅读本有的这份热情。谢谢Sam老师。不客气。那下面一个问题呢是关于英语写作的，很多家长呢会担心孩子写的很少，写的很慢。那小学阶段的英语写作重点应该是什么呢？ The next question is about the English writing. How should parents understand English writing at primary level, and what should the focus be?
This is a very good question. There's no general focus. So, as we previously mentioned, we have writing units, and we teach different genre to children every 3 to 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it's taught, that usually it's introduced through a story. So we first read a story that fits within the genre that we're about to teach in writing. And we teach them lots of features, lots of useful vocabulary for that unit. So it's grammar and vocabulary. And we teach them all of these small bits, and it works like a puzzle, and then it all comes together at the end. Then also another useful thing that we do is a shared write. So once we've taught them everything, all the input, we do something called shared write, so that the children can see our thinking process and how we actually plan a story, or how to use what I've learned so far, so that I can write my own story. What is the teacher, what is the writer thinking when they write, so that they can organize their own thoughts. And at the end, mm-hmm. they write their own, we allow them to write, and then they publish, and then we assess that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the general kind of flow of the writing work, mm-hmm. And it works the same for every unit. And it's very effective, mm-hmm. and it supports the children so that they at the end know how and what to write, rather than just telling them, oh, now write a fable about something, and they like, but you know, I don't know how to write a fable, you know. Mm. So they have all these bits in practice. It all comes together in the end, and they do their own. Quite a complicated process, but it works really well.
It does, and I think. If you were looking for sort of one general rule to look at with the writing, I always say, like, look for quality, not quantity.
Mm-hmm.
That some children are quite happy to sit there and just make pages and pages and just write.
You're writing ethics.
Yeah, exactly. But ultimately, when we come to assess it, as Miss Christina says before, like, we have a rubric that is mostly the grammar things that we've taught. So today I was teaching about how to use a comma in a list. And so if a child writes 3 full pages of stuff in their next story, but they haven't put the comma in the list in, I can't tick that box on the rubric, you know? So I'm forever telling the children, like, slow down. You know, every paragraph you get to the end of, put your pencil down, read that paragraph over, check what you've put in that paragraph. Have you put these things that you need in?
And they have a rubric so they can literally check how they successful it, they can see, they know what's expected and they can go and check so they know exactly what's expected of them. And at the same time, we do something called the word goal, which is what a good one looks like. So on top of everything we do, they have an example in their book so they can also see that. So there's a lot of help and a lot of structure to the writing. But yes, we usually look at the grammar concepts and whether they can apply, can they apply and show it to us in their writing. That's the most important bit about writing, I would say.
Well, it's kind of impressive for them to learn different journals of the articles at such an early age.
It's quite simple in grade one. It's very, this is a story, this is a, we've just done a fact file, haven't we?
A non-chronological report.
And obviously as
they've
as
done
they,
poems as well.
Yeah,
they've
we're going to do poems.
They've done poems.
Did you remember any of the good poems from the pupils?
It was about, we were exploring the Three Little Pigs. So it was based on, so we gave them a poem that was about the three little pigs, and they had to make one about the big bad wolf. So it was about what the big bad wolf was doing in the story. So blowing the stick house away and running away and so on. So it turned out quite well, I think. Wow. Yeah,
they had a lot of fun acting it out, I think.
The acting part.
Yeah, just anything to help them understand what's going on and remember
what the wolf is doing. Lots of videos, lots of actions.
So the class is more kind of interactive rather than just sit there and listen.
Very interactive. We try to engage them as much as possible.
This is definitely more effective, right?
Yes.
I see a lot of research saying that this way, interactive way of learning, is way more effective than the students are only sitting in a classroom and listening to the teachers.
Doing. That's right. I learn that way better, you know. I always learn better when I engage with something rather than sit somewhere and listen to someone speak for a long period of time. So
and especially we do a lot of that early in that unit. You know, so maybe in the last week of the unit the lessons are much more you need to sit down and write, because that's an important skill for children to learn. And then the first few weeks is more reading the story, acting it out, playing some games. So it changes over time.
Right. Thank you. Sam 老师能帮我们总结一下吗？
没问题。刚刚我们提到在我们惠利学校，我们的写作课也是非常有系统的。我们不会直接简单粗暴地告诉孩子说，那现在请你给我们写个寓言故事，而是我们会像教授孩子在像拼拼图一样，我们会把每个细小的每一块，比如说你写作这篇文章，你可能需要用到一些语法知识，你可能需要用到一些词汇知识，你需要用到的一些相关的词汇，你需要知道的一些结构，每一个单独的部分教授给孩子之后，然后再带着孩子一起去赏析范文，共同一起修改自己的这个文章，到最后一步让孩子独立的写出这样的一篇文章。 Mr. Matthew 提到一个很好的点，我们经常会跟孩子提到是我们更看重的是写作的质量而不是写作的数量，我们不需要孩子坐在那一篇一篇的写，而是希望孩子写完一段每一段之后都能回头看看，参照我们学校制定的非常详细的评分标准来看，你的这一段的写作中有没有达到老师所期待你达到要求，比如说大小写，比如说你的语法，你的句式，你的这个标点符号有没有够足够正确，我们是随时都有在回头去让孩子自己反思自己这样子的一个写作的。那刚刚Mr. James 就很惊讶说，我们会进行不同题材的写作，就有提到说我们一年级小朋友已经能写一个诗歌了，在那个单元中他们学习的是关于这个传统的这个三只小猪的故事，老师给了他们的范文是关于一个诗歌，是关于三只小猪的，那么孩子们需要参照那个结构，在熟知了故事之后写出大灰狼 是在这个过程中是怎么样，所以他们写了一首关于大灰狼的这样的一些诗歌。那最后的部分就非常有趣了，孩子们非常享受 Mr. Matthew 有提到在课堂中孩子们非常享受把整个诗歌表演出来的过程，然后互动性很强。你有提到说你有看到很多理论就讲授说这样子互动性的课堂会让孩子的这个学习效率更高一点点。
谢谢 Sam 老师。那下一个问题呢，是想问一下两位老师，如果用一句话去总结小学阶段的英语学习最重要的目标是什么，那你们会怎么去总结它？ So next question is, if you have to summarize it in one sentence, what is the core goal of English learning in primary school?
In primary school, I think it's to really embed the language, to make them confident to speak English, to read English, to use English in their day-to-day lives, because as we mentioned before, when they go up to secondary, there's maybe less support available. The pace of the learning speeds up a bit, and they need to go into that environment with, you know, more tests, as we mentioned, and all those things. They need to go into that environment with a good base knowledge of English. And if they're realizing in secondary, oh, maybe our English isn't as good as it should be, that's maybe by that point it's a bit late to realize that. So our job in primary is to give the children that ability that they just see themselves as bilingual. They speak Chinese and English both confidently, both well, and that they can go into secondary and succeed in all the topics, and that there's no options closed to them because they didn't pick up the English that they needed when they were with us.
Confidence.
Read, write and speak in English confidently and
clearly. Confidently.
Okay. Sam 老师，你帮我们总结一下
啊。总结来说，就是 Mr. Matthew 有提到说，我们的核心目标就是帮助孩子自信的用英语去理解、思考和表达，让英语成为他们探索这个世界的一个工具，让他们成为自信的双语习得者。
谢谢 Sam 老师。The last one, finally, I know it's take a lot of time for you. Thank you. 最后呢，我们有一个问题是，对于希望支持孩子英语学习之路的家长，尤其是对于即将入读一年级的学生家长，我们的两位老师有什么关于幼小衔接的建议？ The last question is for parents who wish to support their children on their English learning journey, especially those whose children are about to start in grade one. What advice would you give on supporting a smooth transition from early years to primary?
Our school actually does something called a summer camp. So I think if someone's really worried, and especially children who have had no prior exposure to English, definitely enroll them. And it's not just at our school. I just know that we do it. I don't know if anywhere else in Hangzhou does something similar to summer camps, but it's a very effective way of engaging children with English prior to coming to primary, especially grade one. I personally have students in my classroom who have attended the summer camp, and it's definitely helped them settle in a little better. But, you know, keep English going during the summer, get them to read. If they come in from nursery, then, you know, continue the reading. Just keep them engaged with English so they don't forget everything. I think that's what parents worry about a lot, like, oh, my child will have the summer off and then straight into grade one. So yeah, definitely summer camps and just continue reading exposure to English over the summer.
And I think I would say as well, we mentioned before about how the nursery to the grade one transition, it's a change in routine, it's a change in emphasis, that it's not mostly playtime with a bit of learning now, it's mostly learning time with some playtime, obviously. So maybe over the summer as a parent, you could try and build, obviously not entirely, but you could sort of start to build some of those routines. Maybe the child could just spend a bit of time in the summer sat at a desk doing a little bit of basic writing or reading. And it's not really about them understanding the stuff at that point, but just building those routines that we sit at a chair. You know, we have the paper in front of us. That sort of discipline, because it's such a different, it seems like it's not a big change from like nursery to grade one, but for the kids, it's a huge thing. And early in the year, some of my kids would sometimes put their hand up in the middle of a lesson and ask me if it was playtime, you know, because they're just not
used to it from
Right. Because they're not used. They just think like, oh, well, I'm ready to play now, so I want to go. And it's teaching them like, no, you know, until 2 o'clock, this is an English lesson and we're going to sit and we're going to listen and we'll make it fun. We'll play a little bit, but this is the time. So if those routines could start being built earlier, it'll be less of a shock,
right,
maybe, for the kids when they start.
Yeah, I agree. And I think next term, maybe we'll plan to have those weekend phonics class for those nursery pupils going to grade one. I think in addition to summer camp, this will be also be a good choice for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Any extra input, it's beneficial for the children. Absolutely.
Okay.
Especially, like you said, if there is this image that parents maybe are aware of phonics, but they don't fully know what it is, well, come along and see.
Yeah, exactly.
Sit in with us. I can teach you phonics myself.
Yeah. That's good. Okay, thank you. Sam 老师，能帮我们再最后总结一下？
好的，没问题。Miss Christina 有提到说，对于这样的这个一个过渡阶段的话，我们学校还有可能杭州其他都会有一些夏令营，这个夏令营用英文进行一些授课，让孩子进入这样子英文的学习环境，对他们来说是非常有帮助的。然后 Mr. Matthew 这边说到说，特别是从幼儿园到小学，我们有提到说小学上课是更加讲授规则的，所以家长们可以尝试在家里可以给孩子们建立这样子的一个规律的作息，告诉他们更多的跟帮他们建立一些规则的意识，帮他们适应这样小学授课的一个课堂。然后您刚才有提到说可能从下学期开始我们会在周末有一些这个自然拼读的课程，也是在夏令营之外帮助孩子们更好的融入到我们这个小学的学习当中来。
谢谢 Sam 老师。Thank you Matthew, thank you Christina.
No problem, thank you
for having us.
我们现在呢这个就是我们今天全部的直播内容了。那屏幕前的观众朋友们，如果你们对于我们学校的夏令营或者是入学我们学校感兴趣的话，可以关注我们学校的公众号，也可以直接添加我们招生老师的企业微信进行咨询。那今天的直播就到这里，感谢大家的观看，再见。